Hey folks, thanks for being a member of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. This might be an odd question, given what you study and your focus on friendship, the lack of friendship, what makes friendships work and why they're important. Does it affect the way in which you are a friend?
Oh my God. Of course, you asked me the most intense question at the end. Totally. Yeah.
So is friendship work for you? Like, I ask this of people who are novelists. Is reading a novel work? And a little bit it is.
Yeah. So this is an interesting thing. I have definitely, I'm going to be personal here because I know you're pulling for that, but I will be personal on something that's very relevant to your listeners. So I definitely had a hard time walking the walk. I always have been talking the talks and listening to kids for a long time. And then I went through a very difficult divorce at a certain point in my life. And that actually got me to see myself more. And people have oftentimes told me that you have to be sort of out of your lovely bubble for you to see it. And so it was a very painful divorce. Our children were young at the time. And I began to see myself, but also see my partner more in terms of trying to understand we were married for 20 years. What went wrong? What happened? You know, that we had such a deep connection and then it was broken, and what happened? And so in that exploration, I began to then become a better friend, Preet, because I started to see the way I actually perpetuated the very thing I was talking about, you know, that damages us. And now I have this friend, I'm going to name her, out her, a couple close friends, and Anne Morning and Jennifer Hill and Hiro Yoshikawa are three of my closest friends. And within those friendships, I'm always trying to test out these things I talk about, you know, like, how can I hold conflict and hurt and at the same time work it through with these people I love? How can we differ on things, on beliefs, and sometimes we do, and still maintain the deep connection? How can we feel seen and see them as much as I feel seen by them? And that's hard. It's hard because my life is busy. I do 1,000 things. But I'm really trying to live a life that privileges those relationships. And then I have a group of women and Mary Margaret and lots of other people that I'm very close to. But the point is that it's work to have good friendships. It's not, you know, really close friendships. And I think people they think it's work to have a good relationship, romantic relationship, but they don't think it's necessarily work to have a friendship. No. It's work to have good relationships. It just is. Yeah.
Do we need fewer dating websites and more?
That's a really good question.
Any websites that help people just make friends.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I don't have a problem with websites. The problem is that we, this could go on for another hour, quite frankly. I think the problem is that we still are confused about what connection is. So I get this oftentimes. They'll say we think that connection is like me sharing something personal and then you sharing something personal, and that creates connection. It doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, basically, when I talk about my divorce, for example, it's actually not personal to me. I've talked about it a million times. It's not personal. There are certain things, you know, when people really get to know my ideas, the way I think, the way I raise my children, the way I become a friend, et cetera, that's personal. And that's a kind of talk about sharing curiosities with each other that leads to a kind of depth. But we still do this parallel play when we talk. You talk and then I talk. We're not necessarily, we're just sharing. And we think, okay, we're supposed to feel close. We don't feel close. Why is that? It's because just self-revealing does not make you, you know what I mean? It's just not, it's not a closeness thing. It's an engagement with each other.
There's a reason why, and I don't think it's meant in this context, but I'll apply it here.
Yeah.
That old phrase, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah.
Is true. And I think people mean that, you know, in the arts or in other contexts.
Yeah.
But within a friendship or within a personal relationship, if you have enough insight about the other person that you can mock them, you know, in a good natured way or imitate them, that means you've heard them and you've seen them. And that's the strongest connection you can have, I think. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, I would say the strongest connection you can have is when you see someone as they see themselves. So whether it's through gentle teasing or whether it's through questioning or whether it's through exploration, you know, I get someone to ask a question, a meaningful question of each other. This is part of the method. Ask a meaningful question. So questions that young people want to ask other people is, where do you feel safe? Where is home? What does it mean to feel lonely? What is loneliness? What is connection? What is love? These are all questions from 12-year-olds that they want to ask each other. When they start asking these questions and someone talks about a time in which they were felt safe and why they felt safe and where they felt unsafe, it builds a sense of deep connection because they're connecting around a question that the person had that was meaningful to them. And they learn from the other person about feelings of safety that resonate with them and sometimes don't resonate with them. But it's really engaging with each other around real questions, not what's your major, not what do you do, but actually, where is home for you? And thinking about asking those questions, and then they ask you that question. And then a deep connection gets built because you start to see each other as you see yourself. And I just think that's the ultimate in a deep, meaningful relationship is if I were engaging in a close friendship with you, my goal would be to understand you so much that not only do I see parts of myself in you, but that I see you as you see yourself. And that's, to me, the ultimate connection.
I was going to end there, but then you made me think of something else. And maybe I have this all wrong too, but since I have you, I'm trying to learn. Is the golden rule wrong? In other words, the golden rule as I was taught is always treat people the way you would like to be treated. And that's not really quite right. I feel like I've learned later in life that the true golden rule is to treat people the way they would like to be treated.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Oh, that just gave me the goosebumps. Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
Because there are things that don't bother
me. That's gorgeous. That's gorgeous, Preet. That's gorgeous. I love it.
But I only came to that realization sort of more recently in life, because you realize when you have a lot of friendships and relationships that there are ways in which I wouldn't mind being treated, but other people might, because people are different.
Yeah. No, I mean, unfortunately, this conversation really could go on. So we have this interesting finding that we just find. We're doing this whole study on stereotypes and curiosity, because I'm very interested in who's actually able to hold on to their curiosity. And people who feel the most stereotyped are the most curious. And that was counterintuitive. We thought it was going to be people who are feel most stereotyped by others would be the least curious because they've sort of shut down. But actually, people that are the most stereotypes understand the potential of misreading someone because they feel misread. So they're the most curious to actually make sure they see someone as they see themselves. So I would say what's interesting is that actually this very negative thing, being stereotyped in a sort of simplistic way, actually forces us to begin to see that it's possible to see somebody in ways that they don't see themselves. So you got to ask the question. So what do you mean by trust? What do you mean by whatever they're saying? I don't feel listened to. Tell me the ways you don't feel listened to. Tell me a time in which you did feel listened to so that you can understand for them what it means to be listened to. And so it's just interesting to me how, and that's what I was saying at the, and we can end on this because I think it's important. Oftentimes the people that are not in the center of power provide the most insight into the human condition because they've had to, right? They've had to be able to get by in a society that has a hierarchy of humanness and a hierarchy of human qualities. They oftentimes have had the people on the fringes, people of color, women, non-gender conforming people, they've had to play, figure out what's going on to be able to enter into the conversation. So I just think it's important to, on this end note, to think about, to remind your listeners that this whole conversation comes from listening to young people, particularly young people of color and people from working class communities that really provide essential insight into the crisis of connection. And not only the cause of the crisis of connection, a culture nature clash, but the solutions to reconnect to our common humanity.
Thank you again for becoming a Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday and stay tuned every Thursday.